Hello and welcome to Islanders Anxiety from the Lighthouse Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Dan Saracini. My special guest this week, you may know from his appearance this week in 31 Thoughts with his new best friend, Elliot Friedman. We're going to ask him a lot about that later. But it's my friend Michael Leboff, obviously. And Mike, the Islanders, they had me bummed out. These last two games in Pittsburgh were no fun. One was a disaster. The other was also a disaster, but a little bit better. They kind of at least showed up for a period or so. But I don't know. I thought that my team being like second place in the division and fifth place overall in the league was going to be a lot more fun than it is.
We're a tough bunch to please, I guess. I'm happy you phrased it like that because, you know, right before this intro, Dan and I were recording and the software kind of had a little bit of a catastrophe and we started over. And, you know, as I was explaining that it's kind of been, it feels a little eerie right now because it feels like last year when things kind of nosedived on that losing streak where the Islanders couldn't score because, and it all kind of started from the Pelech and Cizikas injuries through basically to the end of the regular season. You start to like have those feelings back a little bit right now because you think that this kind of drop in form has started from an injury to Anders Lee, but the truth is like they were playing all right without him for the first few games. It went, I think, 5-2, and then obviously lost the last two to the Penguins, who just for some reason have their number in a very kind of strange way this year, because it's like not like the way the Penguins have had their numbers in years past. This time is like different. Like it's very criminal. I feel like it feels like the Penguins are like doing something untoward to win these games, right, Elvis? Elvis knows. But the way the Penguins are winning these games is kind of like untoward. But obviously the Islanders aren't helping themselves, and I think the real problem has been the injury of Michael Dalcol in a weird way, because it's forced Barry Trotz to make a lineup decision that, you don't want any coach of a team, like you just said, that's fifth place in the league to have to make, which is, do you want to play Leo Komarov and Ross Johnston in the same lineup? Or do you want to play, Leo Komarov and Austin Zarnik in the same lineup? Like I'm starting to think that Barry is kind of taking the piss a little bit with his sense of humor, with the way he's constructed the lineup the other day, which was kind of scary. That looked more like a lineup that you'd see of, when the Islanders are playing out the string in like 2011, you're like, oh, all of a sudden we got, Justin DiBenedetto playing on first line wing with John Tavares. All right. Like, this game doesn't matter, but like it did kind of feel like that for a couple minutes with Ross playing on the third line and Leo on the first. Yeah. And it should not be like that for this team. And I think like there's a lot of kind of just angst amongst the fan base because like we've kind of seen that this, not only have we seen, but this team has proven that it's a Stanley Cup contender. Like people keep saying, the Islanders are good, but like you can put a better label on it. Like the Islanders were playing like a Stanley Cup contender for the first, 30 games of the season, whatever it was. And the last two, they've wobbled a little bit. And you do want to have some sort of, you don't want to like lose the forest for the trees here. Like you said, like they are still second in the division. They're much more likely than not to make the playoffs. And if they do, like they have a good chance of, if they're going to be fighting for home ice advantage. Like there's a lot of good things, but when you see like the dark clouds coming in, like they are right now, and after what we experienced last regular season, you can't help but to worry, especially because of just the current state of the roster.
Yeah, it is, people immediately go to the injury to Anders Lee, which is obviously kind of a huge deal. But I think we're missing a couple of key elements here. Second is the loss of Noah Dobson due to the COVID protocols. He was out for like a week and a half. So I can assume that he had it, but we don't know. He was on the COVID protocol list. And I think that's been a huge deal. Thomas Hickey obviously was inserted very triumphantly in the last couple of games, Sebastian Aho before him. And it's not that they've played poorly defensively, but we'll get to, when they have in a second, but there's just something missing. And Andy Green looks a little bit out of sorts. And I think the whole defensive kind of structure has been lost a little bit. Michael Dalcol missing also is kind of a big deal. And the sad part about Dalcol missing the last couple of games against the Penguins is the game before, where he had played in Boston might have been the best game he had ever played in his career. Like, he looked great. I know he didn't score, but boy, he looked really, really good. And then, of course, he gets hurt, which is sort of, I guess, par for the course for Michael Dal Colle. Currently, the Islanders right now are one of a gaggle of teams that have 48 points by virtue of the fact that they have one less regulation win than Colorado and have played one less game than Florida. They're like the third team over there. They have two more regulation wins than Pittsburgh, who is right behind them. The Toronto Maple Leafs, by the way, are a point behind the Islanders with one less game played and just one overtime loss separating them. So, you know, the next time you read about how great the Leafs season has been, just remember that the Islanders, as of right now, 36 games into the season, are having a better season than the Leafs have in a much tougher division. But that's neither here nor there. In any event, so, yeah, you know, I don't know. Missing the forest through the trees is kind of what we do around here. Like, I do it. You do it. A lot of people listening to this do it. And, I keep looking at these standings. And again, that's just in the whole league. Obviously, in the division, the Islanders are right behind the Capitals, who they're going to play on Thursday night at the Coliseum, who, as of right now, I think are still beating the Rangers. They were a minute ago before we came on. And, yeah, according to Money Puck, the Islanders have like a 95% chance of making the playoffs. It was 97 going into last night's game in Pittsburgh, and now it's 95 because they lost to the team that was chasing them. 95 is obviously still very good, but it's just the way things shake out and the way they're playing lately just is not inspiring confidence. And let's just look at the last couple of games. So we'll look at the win, which is a 4-3 win last week in Boston. They were coming off a win in overtime against the Flyers. This one, they went down 2-0 to the Bruins, stormed back. Anthony Beauvillier with his second straight overtime winner. One of the funniest you may ever see. No offense to our friend Yaro Halak, who was in net 23 seconds in overtime. Bo scored. And I mean, the Islanders played a pretty good game, all things considered, except for about a 5-minute stretch at the end of the first period. The Islanders, you could say, were probably the better team for most of that game. But you just can't really give up, a 2-goal lead to the Bruins and have to fight back. And then a minute after Oliver Wahlstrom tied the game with a beautiful backhander from the slot, Anders Bjork scores, ties the game for the Bruins. So, like, that just about 6 minutes of game time, they let the Bruins in, and that was all I needed to get as many goals as the Islanders had. So, I mean, they need points too. But they got the win, and so you give the team credit for fighting back and taking those 2 points that they needed to. Then they go into Pittsburgh on Saturday, and the wheels just, I would say they came off, but they were really never on. It was 5-0 Pittsburgh before you could blink. Half the game wasn't even over, and it was 5-0 Penguins. Ilya Sorokin got pulled. He gave up 4 goals on 9 shots. Like, Brian Rust had a hat trick. It was a disaster. And yeah, they tacked on a bunch of goals. Matt Barzal had a beautiful goal. But, I mean, they were terrible in that game, and Trotz pretty much said so. Then they, the bad news is they got to play Pittsburgh again on Monday. They lost that one, too. It was only 2-1. Doesn't seem like it was that bad, but they were awful in the first period. There was 2-0 Penguins. They had 4 shots. Like, it was just not good. The Islanders were the better team in the second period. Matt Martin got a power play goal. Yes, you heard that right. Matt Martin, power play goal. Again, Anders Lee's hurt, so you got to try something. And I mean, they were the much better team in the second period and for most of the third, but they never really threatened that much in the third. They had a lot of possession time, but the Penguins just never really gave anything up. And that was on 2 separate goalies too. Casey DeSmith came in at the start of the second and, didn't really give him anything. So just a hugely disappointing weekend when you really look at it. And again, the fact that the Penguins are the team that's chasing you made it even worse. And it's just none of these games, even the wins they had against the Devils and the Flyers, they played that one great game against the Flyers that Saturday night at the Coliseum, but the other games against the Flyers haven't really been that great. And they're coming in this Saturday too. So, it's a lull. Dudes are hurt. Guys are tired. The competition's getting a lot stiffer. And I mean, we're all sitting here hoping that the Islanders can pull themselves back up and get ready to go, because it's not going to get any easier from here on out. And, we were talking before about, the collapse last year prior to the bubble. And this is not that, but it doesn't take a lot to remember collapses past and how these things can spiral really out of nowhere. And just, you're hoping to avoid that altogether.
Yeah. And it's not, they're lucky they're not in a division like the Central, let's say, where it's like if you finish first, it's a huge deal because you're dealing with like a bad Columbus team or a bad Dallas team or a very flawed Chicago team. Like in the East, I really think where you finish is not going to be a huge deal. Like I would love to win a division. I really don't think I've seen the Islanders ever win a division in my life. So I like it. That would be nice. But like, it's not like, like the Bruins, especially if they make a deal at the deadline, which seems to be the case, they're getting healthier. Brandon Carlo's back. Brad Marchand was taken off the COVID list. Like Andre Kasha skating. They're going to get healthy, and the Bruins are going to make a trade at the deadline where you're going to be like, God damn it. Like that is going to make them really scary. So it's not like the Bruins, there's huge difference between the Bruins, the Penguins and the Capitals. Obviously they've had a lot more problems with the Penguins and Capitals in the regular season, but I don't know how much you can really look into that once the playoffs start. But the point I'm making is like, there's at least there's not a huge issue if they don't capture the one seed. Home ice advantage seems to be pretty important. They're playing the lights out at home. So you really, really wouldn't want to cough that up, but they're still in contention for it. But in terms of who you play in the playoffs, at least it doesn't seem like a huge drop off, which does kind of quell the anxieties a little bit. That said, like you were saying, there's some tangible problems kind of presenting themselves from Andy Green not looking as you know kind of just solid as we've seen him when he was playing in the bubble or after like the first 10 games of this season. The roster is just a bit of a mess, and when you think about the way the schedule's set up, where it could be a zero sum game when every game, because you're just playing the teams that you're in a playoff race basically the whole season. So losing 2 points to the Penguins is a huge deal because you're just directly giving them to them without getting anything out of them. So the season can spiral pretty quickly in this type of setup. I still don't think it will, because I think the Islanders have the enough, fail safes, I guess is the best way to put it, in on this roster, from the goaltending to a good defense. Just the system's good. They do have a legitimate game winner in Matt Barzal. Like this team is set up, but I don't want to be sitting here in mid May with the Islanders in the four seed basically, and thinking, you know, what could have been, if they had not just, if they not wobbled, or if this wobble does go on longer, because that's kind of what's scaring me at the moment right now. And the problem is I can't really see this. If who knows, you know, it's really hard to tell with Lou and Barry, with what they're going to do game to game. Who knows what the lineup's going to look like on Thursday. I'll actually be at the Coliseum on Thursday night. Yeah. I'm very excited about that. I'm going to go with my dad. That's He's cool. vaccinated.
Great.
Yeah. So we said once he did, because I had COVID in January. So it's like, you know, I should be pretty much fine. But between the two of us, like we feel pretty comfortable going. And I'm just worried that the lineup we're going to see is the
one first line Leo.
Yeah. First line Leo, third line Ross. Time. Right. Yeah. And that's just not what you want to see against the team that's that you're chasing for first place in the division. And it's not a team that's going to compete in this division. Like it's hockey. You can win any game on any night, sure, but it's just not. You're not doing yourself any favors. And as for as much as we love Barry Trotz, like just seeing that, like it's got to be a little bit of a sense of humor thing with him being like, just like playing his gut, being like, oh, let's just throw Ross out there, see what happens. Like, what's the worst that happens? We lose this game. It's probably not going to be because of him. And then lo and behold, first shift penalty. Yeah. And a couple minutes later, Leo penalty. It's just, it's amazing how those things happen. But whereas like when the Penguins plug a guy in like Leo Komarov into their lineup, goal. Like it's amazing how that happens.
Oh, Freddie Goudreau comes up. He's got a goal. Some other guy with some crazy name. It's a bunch of Z's in it. Scores a goal his first shift. Like that's how other teams work. And that's what's called depth, you know, and that's kind of part of the problem is that, you know, the Islanders just when they're playing as a unit, when they're playing all of their guys, including Lee and Dobson and the regulars, the Islanders are a formidable opponent. Like, we've seen it 100 times. And when they're playing their game and when they get to their game quickly, they can snuff out a game before the other team has even shown up to play. And it's a beautiful thing. And that's the team that we love to see. When you start taking those pieces out, other weird stuff starts happening. So if you take out one and you pop in a Leo Komarov, okay, maybe it's not that big a deal. If you pop out one and put in a Ross Johnston, okay, maybe it's not that big a deal. If you pop out two and you put in two of those guys, now things are starting to get dicey. Kiefer Bellows was in on Saturday's game. Did he play poorly? I mean, the whole team played poorly. So, I mean, I don't know if I put that on Kiefer Bellows. You know, does he offer a little bit more of an upside offensively than Leo? Sure he does. But, you know, they put up a graphic, NBCSN did on Monday, about how since playing with Komarov, Eberle and Barzal's goals against has gone down. And that's fine and good. But, like, those dudes are there to score goals. And, again, Barzal had one on Saturday, but, like, it wasn't Leo. Leo didn't really help. So it's nice that they're not giving up goals, but they're not getting any either. And I'm really surprised that they didn't put, you know, Trotz was willing to mess some lines up. He put Johnston on the third line and he moved Beauvillier up to the line with Nelson and Bailey with Dal Colle out. I'm surprised that they haven't tried to put Beauvillier up with Barzal and Eberle. Because right now, the only Islanders player right now that I would trust with anything is Beauvillier. Like, he's been really, really well now, probably better than he has all season long. It might be Trotz just messing with us. It might be Trotz having supreme confidence in all of his players to execute the game plan as needed. Or it could be just Barry Trotz just playing the guys that he's got. Like, he just can't, you know, we can't materialize a new player out of nowhere. He's got to play the guys that are there. And who are the other options, really? Outside, I mean, Bellows, you know, I think for most people would be the number one option, but maybe Trotz is not seeing something in there that he wants to see. If he is, I don't know what it is. And as our you know, Jenny wrote at Lighthouse Hockey, I don't know what he doesn't see in Bellows at all. It's very strange. She also called Leo, she likened him to the boat that had just been clogging up the Suez Canal until recently. Just not exactly wrong. She's pretty correct on that one. But, you know, so you got Bellows, you got Leo, you got Ross. He's not going to play on the first line, but he can play. I don't think he played a poor game on Monday, but, you know, one game, we've talked about the Ross. Like, he's okay in one game situations. It's when you start getting to, like, multiple week situations that, you know, his returns start diminishing. And that's it, really. Otto Koivula, I guess, is still here, or, you know, Ladd is down in Bridgeport. I mean, is he even an option? Like, I don't even know who's even left. So play Hickey at forward. I don't know. Like, it's just, there's not a lot there. And that's why, you know, Mike and I were joking before we started talking, like, we're going to post this, you know, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. And by the time you listen to this, there might be a new player on the Islanders. Like, we don't know, because they got to do something. And I hate to be one of those guys, but, like, they need to do something. Like, you can only run this lineup out there so many times before it becomes evident. Clearly, you're not going to replace Anders Lee, but you got to find somebody that comes close or can do something, because right now this is not a team that is going to do a lot of damage in the playoffs. And they might want to believe that, but it just ain't true.
It's funny because the Islanders are the way they are, where it's like every piece has to fit into this puzzle. According to everybody, everyone keeps saying, like, oh, you got to replace Anders Lee. And the more I think about it, it's really not about that as much as it is just getting the top line some help, which is in whatever way it needs to happen. Because, like, I saw some people on Twitter kind of complaining about the way Matt Barzal's been playing, but he's not only does he now have to, you know, just drive play on that line, gain the zone, buy time for Eberle to get open, but he only has basically one other option to pass it to on that line. I joke about it, but it's really not even a joke anymore. I don't really think Leo Komarov needs to play with a stick to do what he does. Like, I really don't. Like, what does he do? What he does is he basically just buzzes around the ice, gets in the way of everybody, including his own players, and just is there to kind of disturb the peace on the ice. And he really doesn't need it. The stick gets him in trouble because he'll take penalties with it. As long as he can learn how to, like, stay on side and not just, like, completely corrupt our scoring chances, he's whatever. Like, at least he was not taken away. And I think last week I was talking about how I'm starting to see like the kind of levity in Leo's game and just trying to laugh at it. And then when he plays on the first line for five games in a row, I'm now going back on that and saying like, I don't see it anymore. But he, because like Ross, like if Ross Johnston and Leo Komarov were on the Islanders to play a fourth line role and be plug and play players, it would be fine. But relying on these two guys to want to play on a third line that has basically become one of the most important scoring units on the team, and then the other one to be on the first line on the most important scoring unit on the team is crazy. We saw it. I think the Islanders win on what was it? The 2-1 game Monday.
Yeah.
What's today? I don't know what today is.
Today's Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday. So Monday they win that game. I think if they had one player with like a marginal scoring touch in the lineup, because there were chances, like there were a lot of pucks that went through the goal mouth or the slot and just nobody was there because the players who were playing on the ice are not trained in their game to go to those areas. and it's frustrating because, like, you know, they did hit a couple posts. Like the team is now relying on Matt Martin and Casey Cizikas to create scoring opportunities. Adam Pellick was dangling all over the place to create scoring.
Yeah, he almost went right up the gut at one point. Like,
yeah, I think there were a couple. There were a couple of them. And he's – the problem is, like, so if you're asking – you're basically asking everybody to score, to do more to score, it takes them out of what they're supposed to do. So all of a sudden, Adam Pellick is at the hash marks on a play. And guess what? If he misses the net, the puck's going the other way on an odd-man rush, and you don't have your best defender back there to defend it. So like those issues compound themselves, and it's all because of, you know, just the way the lineup is currently constructed. And it's we all want to believe that, and I really think there's a near certain chance the Islanders add like a very important forward before the trade deadline, but you just never know with the way these guys operate, because Lou obviously doesn't say anything other than to, you know, some complete like nonsense to Pierre LeBrun that Pierre LeBrun then gets really excited about. He's like, I got the Lou interview where Lou's just like, yeah, Pierre.
Lou Lamoriello says he'll do whatever it takes to make the Islanders better. Yeah, we've heard that line before from every general manager any team has ever had. That's always been the line from everybody. Oh, well, we're always trying to make our team better. Okay, well then do something, you know. But I mean, I think that there is a chance that they add somebody again, maybe shortly. But until they do, they have a rough schedule coming up. And we're going to talk all about that in the second half here. One reminder, today is the 30th of March. Tomorrow, Wednesday, is the 31st. That means you have one more day to give us a rating on iTunes and leave your Twitter handle in the review, and we'll make you eligible for some eBay swag for this month. You can wait till next month, but why wait? Do it today. Leave us a review on iTunes. Put your Twitter handle in there. We already have a few, and you will enter for a totally random drawing to win some eBay swag courtesy of Mike. So don't wait. Do it today. And when we come back, we're going to talk about all the games that the Islanders have coming up against much, much tougher opponents than the Sabres and Devils. All right? So join us then. Thanks. Our favorite sponsor is VintageIceHockey.com, where you can get t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs featuring over 100 classic hockey logos. They also have hats, several different kinds. They got snapbacks, they got the dad hat, which I guess is just the hats that I wear. I don't know, I was wearing them long before I was a dad. But you could check them all out there. They have some awesome logos and teams that you've never heard of or maybe have heard of. Making Whoopi, Buffalo Norseman, the Troy Uncle Sam's, the Erie Blades. You can buy them all at VintageIceHockey.com. They also have our Al Arbor t-shirts, our portion of which goes directly to the Center for Dementia Research. You could also use the code LIGHTHOUSE15, save yourself 15%, and you could roll it all up into a cool package for yourself. So do that, VintageIceHockey.com. Okay, so as we were talking about before, the Islanders' schedule gets much harder coming up. They have the Capitals on Thursday. They have the Flyers on Saturday. Lots going on in Flyer land. We'll talk about in a second. After that, I believe they have the Capitals again, and then they have a couple coming up against the Bruins. Now, the Islanders, for whatever reason, have handled the Bruins pretty well so far this season. But as we just spent 20 some odd minutes talking about, you know, how long is that going to continue when your team is, you know, in trouble? Oh, sorry. So they have the Capitals, Flyers Saturday, Capitals again on Tuesday, and then Flyers and Rangers back to back next week, Thursday and Friday. So, you know, the Flyers and Rangers are teams that the Islanders have beaten so far this year. The Caps aren't. And this is where, again, we get into the, are they going to add somebody? Because right now the Caps are rolling as much as anybody can. And it's going to get really ugly if you lose to these guys who are in first place. You're going to drop back even further, and you're going to lose more ground. And I can't stand the sight of the Caps just celebrating like that. Them and the Penguins just annoy me just so much. They're scoring goals. They're doing what they're supposed to, but man, seeing their faces just really bothers me. Like, it's the Caps. They all know where each other's going to be, and it drives me crazy. Like, they're almost like a hive mind. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Like, isn't it just they're all connected somehow. They've all known each other for so long that it's like they're all sharing the same brain.
It was similar to the Islanders. And I actually want to ask, I don't know if it's Eric Hornick is probably the right person to ask, is if the Islanders are the team with like the most games played together, like amongst their team. I have no idea how you'd be able to like matrix that out. But I think in my head, it's the Islanders and probably the Capitals. Because even if you think about the Bruins this season, it's definitely not them anymore. It could have been pre-Char and Krug leaving. But, you know, you just think about these two teams and how much Cal Clutterbuck has seen of Alex Ovechkin and how much of Genny Kuznetsov has seen of Ryan Pulock, like over the years and stuff. Like you just grow to just expect this, like you said, you just know, you can close your eyes and like picture, if I say, okay, the Islanders beat the Capitals, you can close your eyes and say, oh, I'm pretty sure I know how that game played out. Or if I tell you the Capitals beat the Islanders, you can probably do the same thing just because you just know how these two teams play against each other in their current forms. But the Capitals, man, good. They're good. Like, their numbers are really good. They're top five defense by expected goals. I'm pretty sure that they'll go and get like a more reliable goaltender. I know Vitek Vanacek like played well enough, like kept them above water in the when Samsonov was out, but you'd expect them to like shore up that position. I mean,
theoretically, they had one in Henrik Lundqvist,
right? Right. Basically, just go get the new Henrik Lundqvist, like Ryan Miller or something. But they're not going away. I think, you know, they're legitimate this year. And of the other three, like the Islanders in their current form, the Penguins and Bruins all are not. They're definitely not in the same tier as the Capitals at the moment. I think the Bruins and Islanders can both get there through trades. The Penguins can kind of get there if Malkin comes back and they keep playing the way they are, which is incredibly frustrating because it's just very annoying. But it's the way that this thing has unfolded. I think a lot of people are surprised with the way the Flyers kind of were found out. I wasn't. I was always pretty sure that they were overrated by just about everybody coming into the year. and that was one thing in a grind of a season betting on the NHL. One thing that I was very happy about is that I was very right about the Flyers. But like, just, you know, these four teams, like what they're going to do in every game, which just makes it so both wide open in the way this is going to unfold, but also very frightening, especially if you don't, you know, show anything over these next few games. Like, if the Islanders get blown out by the Capitals on Thursday night, like, that's going to scare the bejesus out of me. Not just because of their current two-game losing streak, but just because, all right, like, at what point do you – how many of their games against the Capitals have, like, the Islanders played well in? I remember they played well in a couple periods in their last loss, right, and then they lost. Like, they really haven't had that great of a time against them, and that's extremely frustrating and scary. And then like, you think about the Bruins. Yeah, the Islanders have won five games against them out of five, but it's not like the Bruins haven't been in every game except for one. So it's very different.
Yeah. I mean, the Caps, I'm, you know, it's a month and a half ago and it's almost the entire season has gone by and I still have not forgotten that five goal second period against the Capitals back in January. Like, I just haven't, because it can happen again. It could happen at any time. And, you know, if they do upgrade at goal, I'm looking at Cap Friendly right now and and their the various free agents here. Not a whole lot of goalies. I could see Jonathan Bernier getting traded. He's actually 8-6 somehow on the Red Wings. I didn't realize that. That's pretty good for a team that's that awful. So I would say he's probably in that conversation. I don't know if Ryan Miller would necessarily want to go. There was another guy. Well, Halak is not going anywhere. But, you know, there's a lot of free agent goalies, but who's going to actually move? Oh, yeah, and Antti Raanta, his numbers aren't even as good as Bernier. So I could see one of those guys being traded. And then that would be a whole other thing. But the – yeah, it's just – I get what you're saying. Like, if they show up – and, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this on Monday. You know, the Islanders lost that game 2-1, and it was 2-0 Penguins after the first period. Again, they had controlled the entire thing. And I remember when it was over thinking, well, at least they weren't blown out. And I was like, is that really how I want to feel about this? Like, that's, you know.
I do think that's fair because of the roster that was out there. Like, yeah, I do. I think
that's
like,
true.
It just shows you that they played, like, if you're playing well enough to lose 2-1 to the Penguins, who, by the way, were also shorthanded because they were missing again.
They're always shorthanded.
Yeah, because they're always shorthanded. But, like, if you can play well enough to with that roster, just lose 2-1, it's okay. Like, there were some silver linings about that game.
Yeah. And again, the second period was all Islanders. Like, they had plenty of chances. They just didn't bury any of them. And Casey Smith, credit him, he was pretty good. So, but yeah, if they were to trot out that same lineup and to get blown out by the Caps, and I mean, let's be honest, it could very well happen. I don't know. And it's just, you know, in a way you hate them, but in a way you got to applaud them just the way they're able to keep those kinds of streaks going. And with that, regardless of who's in and who's out, I mean, I think the Caps, I think, have – is Lars Eller hurt now? Like, I think he might be out.
Yeah, I think he's been out for a while. Like,
yeah.
I think, you know, him – but I think he might just be the only one at the moment. But they've been dealing – yeah, they've been dealing with injuries all season.
Yeah. You know, but yet you start a game with them, and anytime they go on the power play, you're terrified. Like, it's just, that's how it is. And I mean, they kept the Penguins off the power play for the most part on Monday, again, with that same crew. So that's one, you know, thing that, again, Leo can help in. He's at least can kill penalties a little bit. But, you know, I just, yeah, I think for the psyche, this is kind of a big deal, clearly, Thursday's game. And I think a win in that case would be enormous. And whether or not, you know, the Islanders wouldn't be in first place. Let's assume the Caps win tonight's game. Although it is only 2-1 right now. So maybe the Rangers can do the Islanders a favor for once. I doubt it. I wouldn't bet on it. But, you know, if they can come back and win that game, that would be kind of huge. Now, Saturday is against the Flyers, and the Flyers are having all kinds of problems right now. They put Shane Gostisbehere on waivers today. Carter Hart is going to be sat down for a few weeks. They're just not going to play him while he works out with practice. It's a bad scene there. You talk about games that, you know, and mixed feelings. So on Monday night, while the Islanders were getting kind of, you know, their doors beaten in by the Penguins, the Flyers were playing the Sabres and were down 3-0 going into the third period. And it looked like the Sabres were going to get their first win in 17 games. And then the Flyers came all the way back, tied the game, and then won in overtime. And the best thing about that ending was that everybody was mad. Obviously, the Sabres were mad, and their fans were mad because they just lost their 18th straight game. But the Flyers were mad, and their fans were mad because they won, but it's not like they won because they played well. They just won because they were playing this completely disgrace of a team that just, you know, they can't get out of their own way. And so, you know, that is a fragile team right now. I don't know who they play in between today and Saturday, but you know, if you're looking at a chance to pick up 2 points, that's got to be the game that circled you. You're at home, it's a Saturday night, you're playing a team that's really up and down right now, talented for sure, but you got to take them. And so that has to be a repeat of the previous Saturday night's game against the Flyers. And if it is, then I think we'll all feel a lot better. But if it's not, you know, again, we're getting right back to what you just said, like, you're starting to look at those standings and the playoff odds and be like, man, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to play out. You know, and there's only 20 some odd games. There's only 20 games left. So this is going to be a wild ride to the end, you know?
And for as much as we always say, like, the Barry Trotz, Lou Lamoriello regime is so different from what we're used to. Like, we're Islander fans, so we're always going to have that fatalistic gene in our body. And you'd be lying to yourself if the Islanders lose to the Capitals, if all of a sudden that doesn't start to rear its ugly head a little bit. just because we, you know, this is hockey and you know how quickly the standings can just completely flip. And we've seen it basically in every division so far. Like one team will just go on a run and, you know, you wake up one day and you're like, oh God, like how did the Penguins catch us and stuff like that. So it's just, it's not, you know, 95% odds are really, really good. Really good. I mean, but it's just, it does leave the door open for catastrophe. And that's when it is a 5% chance. And if it's blown, it is catastrophe. I got to keep saying, like, I'm not expecting that to happen at all. But it does kind of all go back to the opportunity is still there. Like this is here we are, with these huge games coming up, and there's an opportunity here to, the Islanders have a fixable problem. There is a very fixable way of very kind of seamless way to fix what's going on, which is just to get someone with some scoring pop into this first line. Whether, you know, I think people, let's just say call Taylor Hall the prize of the deadline. You don't get Taylor Hall, people might be disappointed. But I think if Lou Lamoriello went out and got Kyle Palmieri tomorrow, like nobody would be, like everyone would be thrilled. Like it's, that's the thing. Like there are so many, the Anders Lee injury sucks. But for it to happen in this season and this way with the options available, like this is not a terrible, it's not something that's unfixable at all. Like there is a way to do it. And the sooner the better, because of, like you just said, like this is about to be the true test of this team, which for as well as they played, like, and as much credit as the Islanders have gotten for their first 35 games or so, they have played a lot of games against the Sabres, and they played a lot of games against the Devils. But like, it's not like I'm not discounting them at all. And we got mad when people were discounting them for those reasons. But it's what I'm trying to say is, like, there's a lot of games left against the teams that they are battling now. Like, so you want to get somebody in for those games, like immediately, because you need to put your best team out against the teams that you need to beat out for these spots in the standings. So it's a weird spot right now to be in, because there's so much to be happy about, and we are all try to remind ourselves about, like, looking around and really just absorbing these moments of success, because they've just been so few and far between for the past 30 years. You know, like you need to do it, but at the same time you just don't want to see them squander it at the same time. And it does, you know, bring up one point of contention I have with people, which is everyone keeps saying before the season, you know, when people were kind of saying, you know, the Islanders probably just they shot their shot last year when they made it to the Eastern Conference Final, and they might, you know, they'll be a fringe playoff team. And now all of a sudden when they're good, everyone's like, well, this is their best chance. This is their window. Their window's open right now. This is the time to go all in. So Lamoriello, you know, needs to do something. Like, do people not remember last year? Like, they went all in last year too, and they almost made it. Like, they did. Like, he went all in. He paid a
right. Pajot was the all in.
Yeah, exactly. Like people are talking about Lamoriello. Like, and I know, like, there was a lot of time in between that, the Andy Green trade and the Matt Martin trade, or I think that those were the first trades he made, or whatever. But He did show something last year with the Pajot and the Green move. Like, so there is, the way people are talking about him, and people meaning like the media, like being like, well, he's got it. This is their opportunity. Like, no, their opportunity was also last year. And like, this is a bigger thing going on than just what's happening right now with this team. And, I think from Trotz's point of view, like, he's such a good big picture coach, which is also kind of why I'm like watching what he's doing with the roster with like a grain of salt, being like, okay, there's something else he's like playing at here with like Leo and Russ. Cause like, whatever it is, it's, there's something that he's so much more enlightened than I am that he's seeing or something with the way he's constructing. And I think Lamoriello kind of has that same kind of thing, or the two of them together with how they're approaching the rest of the season. But you just hope that, cause you can't let, the other problem is that you can't let other teams beat you to the punch here, which, because there are other squads that are going to be after Taylor Hall and Kyle Palmieri and Mikael Granlund and whoever. These guys are going to get snapped up. So at the same time, like, that I am confident that because we saw what happened last year, that something's going to get done. You're also just worried because of the extenuating circumstances, and you just don't want to be left holding the bag with these kind of games coming up. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh God, like, we just got to make do in this schedule for the rest of the season, the playoffs with this roster. So that's a long winded way of saying we're mini crossroads where the bad isn't like really, really scary bad. Like, you're going to not make the playoffs, but most likely, but it's still going to be like a possible wasted opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I keep getting back to, and I think the thing that maybe excites me the most, is that this is almost like a pure rental situation. Like, I don't think, you know, the thing we liked about Peugeot was that they were able to get him and then sign him. And I don't think anybody's looking for that kind of ad right now necessarily. Obviously, Lee is going to be back next year. So, you know, he's just out temporarily. And even if he was in the lineup, they still would have needed somebody, you know, to play at some point. So you'd still be in a rental situation. But now with Lee's injury, you're able to add a more expensive rental. And that kind of puts them in play for somebody like a Taylor Hall or a Kyle Palmieri or somebody else. And so, you know, I think that that's an interesting wrinkle. And I think Lou is looking into that. And I also think that, you know, they have the kind of capital that gets you sort of that stuff. So they have a first round pick. I don't think Hall is going to go for a first round pick, but, you know, if the bidding gets to that point and Lou feels that he's the missing piece there, I don't think he's going to be afraid to spend it this year. They also have an extra second round pick from the Devontaeves trade. So, I mean, they have those spots, and I don't know. Palmieri seems like the easiest, probably because he's playing for the Devils and he could just get in his car and drive over and meet his old buddy Andy Green and chill out and with this, you know. But I mean, maybe Lou's out there looking at somebody else that we're not paying attention to. But, you know, there's also still a lot of teams that are still alive. I mean, Arthur Staple and AJ Malesko were talking on their podcast today about how a week ago everybody left the Predators for dead, and now all of a sudden they're in a playoff spot. So you never know.
That always happens too in the course of an NHL season. I just love it. Like, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, I guess, when they won the Stanley Cup, everyone's like, the Blues, like, they're going to trade Parayko, they're going to trade Tarasenko, they're going to trade.
They were in last place,
Yeah, Petrangelo, and like, then all of a sudden, yeah, they win the Stanley Cup. It's really amazing to watch. Like, how many, I was joking about this the other day about all, you know, all the people that, with the way Erik Karlsson's been playing for the Sharks, he's not been playing well. And I get, like, at the time, like, the Senators probably could have got more for him. But, you know, when the Senators made that trade, they're like, could you imagine only getting, like, a first round pick, a prospect, and whatever they got for him. And people just ripping on the Senators. And now, what, 3 years later, you'd say that the Sharks are in a worse spot than the Senators are because of that trade. And nobody's like ever like going to own up. It's like talk radio. Like, just no one's going to own up to being like, oh yeah, I really piled on the Senators and I apologize for that. Like, I guess they kind of did get what they needed to.
I mean, how many times have people shit on the Islanders and all of a sudden?
It's just true. It's just.
Right. I was actually reading a thing at The Athletic the other day about like the kind of a rundown of Pierre Dorion's trades as Senators general manager. And, you know, with probably the worst one, honestly, is the Mark Stone trade. They got a first round pick and a guy named Erik Brännström, who I don't know if anybody remembers, but he was drafted with the pick that the Islanders sent the Golden Knights their first year, which allowed them to take Mikhail Grabowski off the Islanders' hands. So, you know, I've kind of not followed along, but I've always kind of looked for his name in places, and he has not played particularly well. I mean, he's very young still, but he has not been quite the prize that Senators thought they were getting when they traded Mark Stone, who's one of the maybe three best forwards in the entire league, so it's been tough. So, I mean, they actually made out pretty well in the Peugeot trade when you really think about it, but so did the Islanders. Like, they got the exact guy that they needed and who's played pretty well. Although, again, much like the rest of his teammates, he's not really scoring right now, but certainly can't really say that he hasn't played that well. But yeah, so we'll see what happens. Maybe by the time you listen to this, there's somebody new. Somebody we've talked about, maybe somebody not, that's brand new, that's kind of surprising us all. Speaking of the media, and because I can't let you go without talking about this, you were interviewed by the great Elliot Friedman this week for his 31 Thoughts column. Everybody should check it out. It's obviously free to read at Sportsnet. I'll put a link in the article for this. It was very cool. It was very surreal. It was very illuminating about betting on hockey and the impact of the Tim Peel decision. We didn't really talk about it. I mean, it was just kind of more funny than anything else. But, you know, it does affect the betting lines and how people sort of perceive the league. And I don't know, what was that like? Did he just like reach out to you and like talk to you and want to talk to you about this? How did he even get your name?
Well, so I guess what happened was when the Tim Peel thing happened, my boss, Chad, was just saying, basically, you know, we should write this story. And I actually hadn't connected the dots yet. I just thought that he was, originally I just thought he was caught on a hot mic saying something bad. Hmm. And then as I realized what actually happened, I was like, oh, yeah, no, this is something in our lane. and then Darren Rovell tweeted about it. I actually didn't even write the story. Like we had our news writer write it, and which is for the best, because, you know, I don't want to ever write poorly about the NHL, because that's basically what would have just been a lot less kind than he was to the officials and stuff. But so what ended up happening was Elliot showed the tweet on Hockey Night, I guess, whatever show it was on that night, and he's like, you know, Darren Rovell's got 2 million followers. This is if Darren Rovell's talking about this, it's a big deal. And it's just very funny how all of a sudden that panicked Darren a little bit, because he was, you know, Darren doesn't really talk about hockey, and he just didn't want to have to basically deal with it and talk about. To his credit, he's very self aware, and if he's not an expert on a subject, he'll kindly pass it on to someone who is. And that was me for this case. And all of a sudden on Sunday, I got a text from Frege, as you know, now I get to call him because we're buddies. he'll. You know, it's amazing that these hockey media guys call each other by hockey locker room nicknames. No matter what, it's something to watch for on these shows and podcasts and stuff, is like that these guys do. They call themselves by their nicknames as if they were playing on the Edmonton Oilers with them or something. You know, it's crazy the way these guys approach their lives. But he just texted me, and the next thing I knew, like, we were chatting on the phone, and I kept telling him, you know, he's a super nice guy, and you could tell from the way he writes 31 Thoughts. Someone put it nicely in an email to me, like, the thing to appreciate about him is that his humanity really does kind of shine through in those columns, which is nice, because it definitely doesn't in a lot of other ones, where it kind of comes off like more cringy, like people are less,
he's definitely not like phony, like when he talks about those kinds of stories, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's less of a pandering feel to him, which is, he seems like a good guy. And, but he, you know, just asked me, you know, what I do and how long I've been doing it. And, I told him that I was an Islander fan, and that immediately and I was like, you know, I'm a big Islander fan, lifelong Islander fan. I live on Long Island, which means like there is kind of like a bit of a beef between, me and your colleagues up there in Canada. And he just kind of laughed it off, and I made fun of him and Friedman, him and Marek, for always just like talking about the Leafs all the time. And he took all that stuff in really good spirits. Like, he's got a sense of humor, and when you think about hockey as a sport, there's so much chaos that's already happening. Like, when you just sit down and think about what hockey is, like, if aliens landed and all of a sudden just you brought them to a hockey game, and you're like, here, like, watch this, like, make sense of this, you know, if you like went to like some uncontacted tribe in like the Amazon or something, or like this is something that we do up here, and we watch it and we cheer for it. Like what they think, like, it just makes no sense on its most literal level. So there's so much chaos in the sport. So then if you throw in the fact that these refs are also a part, like, the refs shouldn't be a part of the chaos, is basically what I was trying to say. They shouldn't add to it. And so when you're betting on a sport, you don't want to have to deal with that when you're already dealing with goaltenders like Devin Dubnyk every night. You know, that's enough craziness for me. That was kind of the gist I was making. And the point of, like, the NHL, And I'll never ever. I like hearing people out when they talk about, you know, what they have, when, why they have problem with when sports leagues get in bed with gambling and sportsbook operators or whatever. And I think in England, like, there's a really big movement about it because, like, so many sports books sponsor the shirt of these teams. So you're now you're raising a kid, let's say, like, you got a 6-year-old kid who you bring to the games, and his hero is wearing a shirt that says
DraftKings.
Like, yeah, exactly. Right. So, like, there's certainly a line, and, like, I make my living through covering sports betting. So, like, I understand these things, but the point is, like, the NHL more than any other sport in North America needs it, because they need the revenue. They just need money from anywhere. Like, they should take money from anywhere. Right. And so this situation will never jeopardize that, because it's not like Tim Peel was doing anything really shady. Like, it's not like, you know, it's not fixing games or anything like that. Mm. But, you know, anything that kind of just, like, puts a dent into that hurts the league's bottom line. And that's not great for anybody, because the NHL, it's not like it's on thin ice, but it's like, it's of the leagues. It's like, you can see.
It's the most gate driven league.
Right. Hands down, exactly.
Of the major sports, basically. Yeah.
Yep. So you need this, you need it. And the other thing is, like, if the more people bet on the sport, like, the more they'll watch. If you have money on a Detroit Red Wings, Minnesota Wild game, you're going to watch that game most likely. Like, you want, that's why you need it. Like, you need to introduce people. We always talk about the league doesn't market its stars and all this, all these problems. And not saying that gambling is what's going to fix them, but it supplements it. And so when you jeopardize that, that's when it becomes a problem. We had this, you know, long conversation about it. And yeah, it was just, you know, it was fun. He's an interesting dude, but he was able to put up with the fact that I was, you know, making fun of him as much as I could, making fun of the Leafs. And I really wish I could have made fun of Chris Johnston, but I couldn't find the right segue.
I love that you were, I mean, I know you well enough to know that you're definitely going to bring that up, and, like, you're going to make it a thing. And I do wonder, like, and I'm glad that he took it, you know, with a sense of humor, and I would expect nothing less from him. But I do wonder if he talked to Merrick and was like, man, those guys are still pissed up there. Like, there's the Islander fans still hate us, you know, because of talking about the Leafs all the time and being, and, you know, I think I mentioned this on here once. He had reached out to me during the Tavares Encyclopedia era, because I really do think he was concerned for my mental health. And I was concerned for my mental health during that time period too. You know, I wonder if we've talked about this too, with, like, when James Myrtle has talked about, like, the rivalry between the Islanders and Leafs. And it's like, dude, that rivalry has existed since 2002. Like, there's, you know, this is not a new thing. This isn't a John Tavares thing. This is a, we hate you guys because you kind of constantly look past us and wouldn't piss on us if we were on fire, you know, situation. So I do wonder if he's like, wow, these guys have long memories. Like, they're not joking around. He said, you know, so, but it was very cool. And again, I urge everybody to look at and read, because it is interesting. And, you know, the thing about the Peel thing, and I'm not going to go off on a whole thing, because, I mean, you said it is better than I could, but, you know, make no mistake, he was fired because he got caught on a hot mic. Like, he wasn't fired because he gave Nashville a bullshit penalty when they, you know, he had given a couple to Chicago or wherever it was the night before. Like, he got caught on a hot mic, and that makes the league look bad, and they fired him. And that's how it is. They fired him before he was going to retire anyway, and so they just gave him the boot. And then, as far as, you know, that would make the league look bad. They need money, like you said. They're a gate-driven league. They want more butts in the seat somehow. They can't get them yet, but they need all that kind of dough. And on that note, and I've been meaning to say this for a while now, but there was all that hemming and hawing about, like, helmet ads. Oh, my God, how could they put ads on the helmets? This is ridiculous. Why does everybody team have two helmet ads? Have you noticed, like, on the glass, like, there are graphics sort of, like, on the glass, but sort of low near the boards? So, like, the Penguins had, like, FedEx there. The Islanders have something, too. I can't remember what it is. Every team has this now. Those graphics are 100 times more annoying than the helmet ads, which I don't even notice during the course of a game. You know, like, it's just nobody said anything about those. Like, no. They're just – that really annoys me, that every time I look around, I'm like, what are those words over there? Why are they there? I just – It's very disorienting. Also, there are more than, there's at least three buildings that I know of with cars in them right now. So Detroit, Anaheim, and Calgary all have cars right behind the glass. So for all that, again, the consternation and the crying about Barclays Center, three teams were quick to jump onto that car thing once they didn't have people sitting there. So never forget that either. This team, this league needs money big time.
Right. And the two things, one, like the car thing harkens back to a point I was going to say is like when, like with Elliot Freeman, it was a little different because he's really not, he's not polarizing, I guess is the right way to put it. Like he is like kind of a treasure to the sport because he gives us this information. He actually covers the stuff we want to read the way we want to read it in depth once a week. He delivers like that. And that's why like I was more having fun with him. Like in, I feel like throughout my life, and especially like as an Islander fan, like when I've had the opportunity to talk with people who have done me wrong as an Islander fan, like I'll take it. Like I got into it with Brett Yarmark during the national anthem once.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, like, I think that's a funny thing about the Islander fans is like if you deserve that kind of treatment, if you deserve to be called like a crook or a rat or whatever I called him during the national anthem right before we threw snakes at John Tavares, you'll get that from Islander fans. But if you also deserve, you know, maybe like a little light ribbing and you treat us like the way we should be treated, like you're going to be fine. You're going to be treated. You're going to enjoy talking to us because we're very passionate about the team in a way that you as a sports writer or whoever need, because that's what pays your bills is this kind of passion. And that kind of just brings me to like the car and stuff and like getting, that just kind of made me remember that Yarmark thing. But yeah, and the helmet ads, like how many pieces did we read in The Athletic about like ranking the helmet ads from 31st to worst? Like, no, who cares? Like it's like, it took 2 seconds to get used to them. And like none of them are, it's just incredibly frustrating. It's like, it's just any little thing that these guys can make a big deal about, they will.
But yet again, you know, I'm looking at the glass in every one of these buildings and it's just, and again, the Islanders have it too. Like it's mm-hmm. not, you know, I'm not making fun of anybody.
I think those are going away, I think.
I hope so.
Yeah, they better because
it's I know.
I mean, I said this to you last night. Like, I think last night's broadcast with the crowd noise and Dominic Moore basically sleep talking throughout the whole thing was one of the worst broadcasts I've ever seen in the NHL.
It was very preseason-y. Let's put it that way. I mean, it was, you know, and you know, not for nothing. Like, why was that game even on NBC? You had Oilers and Leafs in the same night. Put that game on.
It was. You just almost couldn't have two very different broadcasters with like Brendan, who will scream about Jordan Eberle, like dumping a puck down into the zone. And then you'll have, you know, Dominic Moore just being like, yeah, well, you know, with Sidney Crosby and I played against each other like 20 times in my career in the playoffs. And I just thought, you know, the best way to play him was to like get a little physical. Like,
yeah.
And then Brendan screams again. It's just a very wild experience.
I will say this. Dominic Moore, I think, has a long way to go, but at least he's not Pierre Maguire. So that in that case, he gets a thumbs up from me. Anybody that's not Pierre Maguire gets a thumbs up from me.
If you were the broadcast czar, that would be the first question on the interview. Oh, are you Pierre Maguire?
I can't even. I watched a game with him.
I'm Ryan Callahan.
Why is Ryan Callahan dressed like an extra Boardwalk Empire? Like, what is with those suits? Like, I don't know.
They all just see like Patrick Sharp, and they're all just like, you know,
yeah,
I'm gonna try to be like him, and then it's
good luck. We all want to be like Patrick Sharp. Get in line, take a number.
It's just this whole. Hopefully, there's a reckoning coming for just the whole landscape and. Yeah. In a bunch of different ways, because it's getting so they're incredibly.
Yeah. I mean, we'll end here, but like we talked about the ESPN deal and, you know, I do wonder how it's going to affect things, but I am, you know, I think deep down looking forward to a new product, because I think this league, they need to change the product. Like there's just too many, you know, they're not the same guy. You know, there's a difference between Keith Jones and Anson Carter and Patrick Sharp and Ryan Callahan, and you know, but they are in a way kind of all the same guy. Like they're all there's very little difference. Their ages are different, their backgrounds are different, playing timelines are a little bit different, but they're all basically the same guy, and it's wearing on you. It really is. And again, I said this before. I was watching that Sabres Islanders series clincher from 2007, and it was the same exact broadcast. It was Eddie O and John Forslund and Pierre Maguire, and I'm like, I feel like I just went into a time warp. Like, what the hell? This game is like 13 years old. It's the same exact broadcast. It's crazy.
It's amazing. And the way it's called.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Just, the only thing difference is the graphics and the names on the jerseys. That's it.
If only Miro could have scored in that game. Goddamn.
Yeah, no. Well, I don't want to get off on a whole thing about it. We'll talk about that at some point. But anyway, thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, we don't know what's going to happen going forward, but it's a big week for the Islanders nonetheless. Read Lighthouse Hockey every single day for your most up-to-date Islanders news and discussion. You can follow our podcast at LHH Podcast on Twitter. Look for another PT Isles with Joe and Noel at some point, too. Listen to the last one if you haven't. It was really, really cool. Where can everybody follow you on Twitter?
The Big Lebowski with two E's.
Follow Mike at The Big Lebowski with two E's. Follow Elliot Friedman at Friege, HNIC, I believe. Maybe he and Mike will get a collaboration going. And you can follow me at Culture of Losing. And we'll be back next week at some point. Don't forget to leave us a review at iTunes. And then, you know, one more day. And then, again, we'll have our drawing next week. And we'll see who wins the next round of eBay swag. All right. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.